Jesus, Mary, Gospel by Andrew Jerome Young.
Session 4. Be a Shepherd. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The prayer for laborers has risen up to the Lord countless number of times. Have you ever considered yourself an answer to it? Who is a shepherd? After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." A second time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you." "Then tend my sheep." The person who truly loves Jesus is the one who may be called upon to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. If you love Jesus, you may be asked to shepherd for him. The flock he gives you may not be large. It may be no more than a few relatives or friends. It may be just one member in your family or among your co-workers and acquaintances. It may even be a stranger that you meet by chance. Whoever they are, they may be in need of you. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth." For what purpose? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will bear witness for me in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea and Samaria, and even in the farthest corners of the earth." You are to be Jesus' witness in more ways than one. How might you witness for him? Consider the following. By genuine caring. When he came ashore, he saw a large crowd. His heart went out to them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. As in the quotation at the beginning of this session, we are told that the crowds were like sheep without a shepherd. In the first passage, Jesus asked for more laborers.
Here he reveals how a shepherd feels and acts.
His heart went out to them. He was moved with pity. He did not despise the people or hide from them, or made excuses to be rid of them. Even though he was very tired, he began to teach them, and he taught them many things. We too can spend time with people who are lost for lack of direction. By kindness and understanding, we can extend the comforting hand of Jesus to them. By showing our concerns, we can spread his love and his good news. It was already getting late, and his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people off to the farms and villages round about to buy themselves something to eat." "Give them something to eat yourselves," he answered. Don't send the people away. Do something for them. Without sinning or falling into temptation, do whatever you can, however little. In the above incident, when the disciples came forward with 2 fish and 5 loaves, Jesus built on their initiative and fed over 5,000 people. You begin, Jesus will finish. Since the last century, youth prayer groups have been formed in many parishes throughout the world. The first step towards organizing these were often taken by parents who saw the need for such spiritual gatherings for their sons and daughters. They did this voluntarily and without being ordered to do so. Now their young ones know the joy of walking with the Lord. Now they have a trustworthy companion in Jesus. Now they do not spend their Saturday nights in undesirable places or with disreputable friends. These parents are examples of concerned shepherds. Many men and women, boys and girls, fast and pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners and unbelievers. This is a noble and unselfish way of helping to save countless numbers of human beings from unnecessary and prolonged darkness and pain. This is caring. This is love. This is another illustration of shepherding. The Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. Be like Jesus. Do not run from the problem. Stay and help. Lay down your life for God's people. The Holy Spirit is in you. Use his power and the courage which he has placed in you. By speaking out. Picture the scene at the first Christmas. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping guard over their sheep during the watches of the night. An angel of the Lord stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Look, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds were simple peasants. How were they to know if anybody would believe that they saw angels in the middle of the night?
Would anyone really take them seriously about the little baby lying in the manger, being the Almighty Christ, for whom all of Israel was waiting?
Yet they spoke out boldly. They made known the message. This amazed their listeners. It touched them. It made even the Mother of God ponder in her heart. She treasured their words. To bear witness for Jesus, you simply speak out. The angel's announcement to the shepherd was, "Do not be afraid. Look, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Do not fear. What you say about Jesus is joyful news. It is good news. It should be shared by all." Knowledge and discretion. Of course, you have to be well informed and discreet. You have to be thoroughly educated in the ways of the Lord. You must not make up your own theology from your limited understanding. You have to pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit. You have to choose the right words at the right moment. You have to be tactful, wise, and loving. The Gospel. Moreover, do not just speak about Jesus. Tell them to carry out what he taught, he said, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not everyone will agree with what Jesus says. Not everyone will do all that he asks. But his words may make them wonder and think. Some may be influenced without you being aware of it. Foul language.
In the East, some homes display posters which say, "In this house, do not swear." This demonstrates a silent way of speaking out.
The elimination of foul language helps to control bad temper and anger and diminishes one's false sense of self-importance. It can promote gentleness and peace among fellow workers and family members. It can help bring a Christian atmosphere to places where people come together. In the Western world, it is not fashionable to place such signs in homes and offices.
But if you will begin by not using offensive expressions yourself, it might cause others to follow your example. Let peace begin with you.
To live a certain way is to speak out for that way. Individually or in a group, let us do something about the evils around us. Don't be shy. Never feel embarrassed by your loyalty to Jesus. Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Acknowledge him by hanging his portrait and crucifix in your home. Make decisions in accordance with his teaching. Go off to pray, even if others should ridicule you for it. Brief summary. Jesus said, "The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them." By baptism and confirmation, by your love of Jesus and obedience to his commands, by your grounding in and fidelity to the teachings of the Church, you have entered through the gate the shepherds go through. You have the potential to be one of them. Develop that potential. A shepherd leads them out and goes ahead of them. He is a leader. He walks in front. He starts things going where there is a need. And he leads by showing his Christian compassion and care towards all. He leads by speaking out boldly, knowledgeably, and prudently, in word and action, at the opportune time. Session 5. A Message to Parents. In today's world, bringing up adolescents can be a harrowing experience. There are so many evils to be aware of: immorality, alcoholism, drugs. At the same time, temptations to sin come from many directions: television, magazines, friends. To help their children, parents need to teach and guide them, especially by their own non-hypocritical examples. They must love them, spend time with them, and pray with them. They should correct and discipline them, but also allow their children some privacy and opportunities for self-expression and maturation, remembering that their offspring do not necessarily become exactly what they plan in the idealism of their minds. In this session, we emphasize 3 points. Parents should pray for their children. They should have faith in God. They should not live in fear. Pray for your children. A mother's prayer. The prayer of a parent is very powerful. The passage below illustrates how Jesus was moved to perform a miracle for a persistent mother. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came out and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon."
But he did not say a word in answer to her.
His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. A Father's Prayer. The father in the next passage had asked the disciples to help, but when they could not, he persevered by going to Jesus. As they were rejoining the crowd, a man came up to him and went down on his knees before him. "Lord," he said, "take pity on my son. He is demented and in a wretched state. He is always falling into fire and into water. I took him to your disciples, and they were unable to cure him." In reply, Jesus said, "Faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And when Jesus rebuked it, the devil came out of the boy, who was cured from that moment. Pray. What troubles your children? Whatever it is, pray for them. What troubles you concerning your children? Think truthfully and pray for yourself. If there is anything you can do do it with wisdom and affection, and pray. If there is nothing you or anyone else can do, pray. In another description of the above healing story, when asked by his disciples why they themselves could not cast out the demon from the boy, Jesus answered, "This is the kind that can be driven out only by prayer." Have faith. When you pray, do so with faith. Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." He said to the demented boy's father in the other description, "Everything is possible for one who has faith." To the disciples who could not heal the boy, he gave this reason: "Because you have so little faith, in truth I tell you, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." By believing in Jesus, the father in the next story obtained his request. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover. And they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. The dying. The concern you have for your sons and daughters may not be physical. When you have time, read again the above text, John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53, as though they are about your own children, but replacing the maladies mentioned by the ills you think are threatening them. Listen to the next story as if it is about your child, whom you imagine to be on the road to ruin. And suddenly there came a man named Jairus, who was president of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him to come to his house, because he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. While he was still speaking, someone arrived from the house of the president of the synagogue to say, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the master any further." But Jesus heard this, and he spoke to the man, "Do not be afraid, only have faith, and she will be saved." They were still all crying and mourning for her, but Jesus said, "Stop crying, she is not dead, but asleep." But they ridiculed him, knowing she was dead. But taking her by the hand himself, he spoke to her, "Child, get up." And the spirit returned, and she got up at that very moment. Then he told them to give her something to eat. No matter how hopeless the situation appears, entrust your children to Jesus, entrust yourself to him, and learn from his example. He took the child by the hand with kindness. He spoke with her. He asked her parents to give her something to eat, to nourish her, to care for her, to be attentive and loving towards her, to cherish her. Trust Jesus' saving mission. Jesus said, "Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, and no one will ever steal them from my hand. The Father, for what he has given me, is greater than anyone, and no one can steal anything from the Father's hand. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never turn away. I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It is his will that I should not lose even one of those he has given me, but should raise them all up on the last day. Do not be afraid. Two of the worst enemies of faith are fear and the devil. In the last story, Jesus said to the father of the little girl, "Do not be afraid. Only have faith, and she will be saved. She is not dead, but asleep." In another passage of the gospel, he assures everyone, "Can you not buy 5 sparrows for 2 pennies? And yet not one is forgotten in God's sight. Why? Every hair on your head has been counted. There is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are very precious in God's eyes. So are your children. God has not forgotten them. He looks after them, just as he looked after you from your youth, and will continue doing so because you need him just as much as your children do. Set your troubled hearts at rest.
Trust in God always. Trust also in me.
When you have done all that you can, place everything else in God's hands. Let his power be displayed in the healing of your children and you. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." Young people have their hardships. They are passing through a difficult stage in life. The devil will try to make you treat them like enemies. Don't be misled by him. Scripture says, "Resist him, steadfast in your faith." Jesus' command is to love one another, not hate. Your children are your flesh and blood. If you don't love them, who will? Next time the devil attacks by creating a storm in your heart, do not fall for his tricks or react irrationally. Turn to Jesus immediately and ask him to come into the situation. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith? Go in peace." It takes a long time for young adults to grow and mature. It takes a long time for parents to grow and mature.
Parents have lived more years.
They should not use their greater age to browbeat their children or to create more discord and conflict, but to bring affection and peace to their homes. They should not wait to be grandparents for this to happen. Let them begin now. Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another."
There may be occasional troubles and pain, but with God's help, all will be well in the end.
Through overcoming your trials and difficulties, you will ripen into understanding and loving human beings. Do whatever is in your power for your children. Go to the parish library or a trustworthy Catholic bookstore to find a suitable book on parenting. Ask those who might be able to lend a hand, for example, your priest. But above all, pray for your children. Have faith in God. Do not live in fear. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith will save your family. Faith will bring peace. A word to all youths. The work of bringing up the young is not easy. Parents do not always possess enough knowledge or presence of mind to take the best course of action in every situation. You sons and daughters can help by your cooperation and love. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He also said, "Honor your father and your mother." You give them most honor, love, and peace of mind by leading lives of great goodness. Act of consecration to Jesus. Jesus, when you were 12 years old, you gave your parents quite a scare by secretly remaining in Jerusalem while they were on the road back to Nazareth. They searched anxiously for you and did not find you until the third day. Your mother has since learned how to care for the young in peace. Today she has millions of children to look after throughout the world. Many of them are potentially worrisome, yet she is able to stay calm and serene. From this day forward, I consecrate to your Sacred Heart and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of Peace, myself and my family members. Direct us towards holiness. Guard, guide, bless, reprove, and train us. Your mother has been instructing us to pray and fast, to have strong faith, to convert, to strive for peace.
Help us to live these messages, for they will bring us to reconciliation with one another, to live in peace with ourselves and with our families, and to love each other according to the commands you gave in the Gospel.
Jesus Mary Gospel by Andrew Jerome Young was recorded at the studios of Radio Maria in Toronto, Canada, and read by Stuart McDougall. The music is courtesy of Figlio del Divino Amore. The songs used were Spirito Santo and Confidiamo in Te.